Troy, Montana, USA. This neighborhood is, according to the brochure, the new community for the new America. Based on the Israeli Masada model, it is clear just from first glance that this neighborhood was built with one goal in mind. The houses all rest on stilts, so high as to afford each a perfect view over the 20-foot-high reinforced concrete wall. Each house is accessed by a retractable staircase and can connect to its neighbors by a similarly retractable walkway. The solar cell roofs, the shielded wells, the gardens, lookout towers, and thick sliding steel-reinforced gate have all served to make Troy an instant success with its inhabitants, so much so that its developer has already received 7 more orders across the continental United States. Troy's developer, chief architect, and first mayor is Mary Jo Miller. Oh yeah, I was worried. I was worried about my car payments and Tim's business loan. I was worried about that widening crack in the pool and the new non-chlorinated filter that still left an algae film. I was worried about our portfolio, even though my e-broker assured me this was just first-time investor jitters and that it was much more profitable than a standard 401k. Aiden needed a math tutor. Jenna needed just the right Jamie Lynn Spears cleats for soccer camp. Tim's parents were thinking of coming to stay with us for Christmas. My brother was back in rehab. Finley had worms. One of the fish had some kind of fungus growing out of its left eye. These were just some of my worries. I had more than enough to keep me busy. Did you watch the news? Yeah, for about 5 minutes every day. Local headlines, sports, celebrity gossip. Why would I want to get depressed by watching TV? I could do that just by stepping on the scale every morning. What about other sources? Radio. Morning drive time? That was my zen hour. After the kids were dropped off, I'd listen to... Name withheld for legal reasons. His jokes helped me get through the day. What about the internet? What about it? For me, it was shopping. For Jenna, it was homework. For Tim, it was... stuff he kept swearing he'd never look at again. The only news I ever saw was what popped up on my AOL welcome page. At work, there must have been some discussion. Oh, yeah, at first. It was kind of scary, kind of weird. You know, I hear it's not really rabies and stuff like that. But then that first winter, things died down, remember? And anyway, it was a lot more fun to rehash last night's episode of Celebrity Fat Camp, or totally bitch out whoever wasn't in the break room at that moment. One time around March or April, I came into work and found Mrs. Ruiz clearing out her desk. I thought she was being downsized, or maybe outsourced, you know, something I considered a real threat. She explained that it was them. That's how she always referred to it, them, or everything that's happening. She said that her family'd already sold their house and were buying a cabin up near Fort Yukon, Alaska. I thought that was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard, especially from someone like Inez. She wasn't one of the ignorant ones. She was a clean Mexican. I'm sorry to use that term, but that was how I thought back then. That was who I was. Did your husband ever show any concern? No, but the kids did. Not verbally, or consciously, I think. Jenna started getting into fights. Aiden wouldn't go to sleep unless we left the lights on. Little things like that. I don't think they were exposed to any more information than Tim or I. But maybe they didn't have the adult distractions to shut it out. How did you and your husband respond? Zoloft and Ritalin SR for Aiden, and Adderall XR for Jenna. It did the trick for a while. The only thing that pissed me off was that our insurance didn't cover it because the kids were already on Phalanx. How long had they been on Phalanx? Since it became available. We were all on Phalanx. Peace of Phalanx, peace of mind. That was our way of being prepared. And Tim buying a gun. He kept promising to take me to the range to learn how to shoot. Sunday, he'd always say. We're going this Sunday. I knew he was full of it. Sundays were reserved for his mistress, that 18-footer twin-engine bitch he seemed to sink all his love into. I didn't really care. We had our pills, and at least he knew how to use the Glock. It was part of life, like smoke alarms or airbags. Maybe you think about it once in a while. It was always just in case. And besides, really, there was already so much out there to worry about. Every month it seemed a new nail-biter. How can you keep track of all of it? How do you know which one is really real? How did you know? It had just gotten dark. The game was on. Tim was in the Barca lounger with a Corona. Aiden was on the floor playing with his Ultimate Soldiers. Jenna was in her room doing homework. I was unloading the Maytag, so I didn't hear Finley barking. Well, maybe I did, but I never gave it any thought. Our house was in the community's last row, right at the foot of the hills. We lived in a quiet, just developed part of North County, near San Diego. There was always a rabbit, sometimes a deer, running across the lawn, so Finley was always throwing some kind of a shit fit. I think I glanced at the Post-it to get him one of those citronella bark collars. I'm not sure when the other dogs started barking, or when I heard the car alarm down the street. It was when I heard something that sounded like a gunshot that I went into the den. Tim hadn't heard anything. He had the volume jacked up too high. I kept telling him he had to get his hearing checked. You just don't spend your 20s in a speed metal band without... sighs. Aiden had heard something. He asked me what it was. I was about to say I didn't know when I saw his eyes go wide. He was looking past me at the glass sliding door that led to the backyard. I turned just in time to see it shatter. It was about 5'10", slumped, narrow shoulders, with this puffy, wagging belly. It wasn't wearing a shirt, and its mottled gray flesh was all torn and pockmarked. It smelled like the beach, like rotten kelp and salt water. Aiden jumped up and ran behind me. Tim was out of the chair, standing between us and that thing. In a split second, it was like all the lies fell away. Tim looked frantically around the room for a weapon, just as it grabbed him by the shirt. They fell on the carpet wrestling. He shouted for us to get in the bedroom, for me to get the gun. We were in the hallway when I heard Jenna scream. I ran to her room, threw open the door. Another one, big, I'd say 6.5 feet, with giant shoulders and bulging arms. The window was broken, and it had Jenna by the hair. She was screaming, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy!" "What did you do?" I'm not totally sure. When I try to remember, everything goes by too fast. I had it by the neck. It pulled Jenna toward its open mouth. I squeezed hard, pulled. The kids say I tore the thing's head off, just ripped it right out, with all the flesh and muscle and whatever else hanging in tatters. I don't think that's possible. Maybe with all your adrenaline pumping. I think the kids just have built it up in their memories over the years, making me into She-Hulk or something. I know I freed Jenna. I remember that. And just a second later, Tim came in the room with this thick black goo all over his shirt. He had the gun in one hand and Finley's leash in the other. He threw me the car keys and told me to get the kids in the Suburban. He ran into the backyard as we headed for the garage. I heard his gun go off as I started the engine.